Well, good morning, and welcome to Worship Online at Alpha Door Church this Sunday, February the 20th. It is World Day of Justice, and we pray that we can all worship our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together in spirit and in truth. And in the spirit of reconciliation, we acknowledge that we live, work, and play on the traditional territories of the Blackfoot Confederacy, Siksika, Kanai, the Kani, the Sutina, the Stoney Nakota Nations, the Métis Nations, Region 3, and all people who make their homes in the Treaty 7 region of southern Alberta. We also affirm our pledge to stand for justice and our commitment that our church is a place where all people, regardless of race, culture, sexuality, or faith, are welcome. Together we hope that all can find the true love of God and authentic community. Our call to worship from Psalm 86. There is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and bow down before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Our first scripture this morning comes from Isaiah 42. Verses 1 through 9. Isaiah 42, starting at verse 1, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says. The creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth and in with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand, I will keep you, and will make you to be a covenant for the people and the light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare, before they spring into being. I announce them to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We have been working through over the last 7 weeks a series of prayers from the Canadian Baptists of Western Canada, to which we are affiliated, and we have learned a fair bit from the videos that they have shared with us, and then we pray together. So I invite you to listen to this final video now. And so we pray together. Our Father in heaven, make your name holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Together, Lord, teach us not to just pray this prayer, but to live this prayer out in our hearts and our minds and our strength. Let us, the church, be the people who shine the goodness of your character, your will for humanity into the places where darkness dwells and threatens to overcome us. In our hearts, in our words and deeds, in our self-righteousness and pride, in our unforgiveness and judging of others, in our power structures, in our pursuits of our own priorities, and in our trials and temptations. Let this be the prayer, Jesus' prayer, teach us to love as you love. Together, may your kingdom come, and your will be done in all the earth, in us and through us, as we join you in your work for the healing of the world. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Last year, our church was privileged to be a part of helping the Canadian Food Grains Bank around the world by supporting our local growing project in High River. And Canadian Food Grains Bank and Canadian Baptist Ministries, who partner together in this, have sent a short video of thank you for the way that we were able to support, even though it was COVID and difficult. God used our gifts and offerings to help bless others. Let's listen. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. A passage that none of us really appreciate a lot, well, some of us, and some of us question it, but it is an important part of what we're going to be talking about today. So let's read Matthew chapter 20, starting at verse 1, again from the New International Version. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them out into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages. Begin with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. When the others came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only an hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" And so the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Over the last few weeks, we have been learning and been reminded of some of our Baptist roots. There is so much to learn. I do hope that you have taken advantage of some of the books and other materials available so that you can continue your own studies. And I also hope that you've had a chance to listen to the teaching from our Altador Informal 3 weeks ago. If you haven't listened to it or want to re-listen to it, please contact the church or office for the link to this wonderful teaching. A big thank you to Don and Marilyn and the Leadership Corps for all their work on this. And as usual, I am here to talk if you have questions along the way. Today, I want to tackle a fairly controversial topic. Justice. It is the World Day for Social Justice. Baptists have a deep roots when it comes to standing for justice. And we in our own church have often talked about justice. We reaffirm our commitment to stand for justice for all in our opening treaty announcement each Sunday. However, this is one of those places where we are not going to all agree. Dawn's comment a few weeks ago, 10 Baptists in a room and 12 opinions, will be true here, as it is in many places. Many of us will disagree some today. I do want to remind us all that we can agree to disagree on issues while maintaining attitudes of respect and love. I have chosen to use examples of justice from our Baptist history that are dear to my heart. There are many, many stories of justice that Baptists have been involved in around the world throughout history. And there is so much rich history as well as current issues that relate to justice. Dawn mentioned that some of our rich Canadian Baptist history, like Tommy Douglas and John Diefenbaker, who worshiped together on Sundays in the same Baptist church in Ottawa and then fought with each other in Parliament during the week. We are blessed by those kinds of examples, disagreeing on issues but respect and love for the person. I'm choosing some of the stories about justice from our Canadian Baptist history in Bolivia. You may be aware of the fact that Dennis and I served in Bolivia as CBM Global Field Staff for 10 years. We were there as CBM and the Bolivian Baptist Union celebrated the centennial anniversary of our work there. 100 years of God making a huge difference in the country and acknowledged by all levels of government throughout the nation. Most of the work centered around justice and the gospel preached through action. Word and deed together, changing a people, changing a nation. And we were so blessed and privileged to be a small part of it all. I'm going to try and keep the stories short, but truthfully, I could talk about this for days. One of the earliest stories of Baptist standings for justice started in the mid-1930s when a group of missionaries bought an hacienda, a large farm, in Wapahata up on the shores of Lake Titicaca in the Altiplano. What they didn't know when they bought the farm was that it came with serfs, over 300 of them. And they knew that that was wrong. So they struggled with how to be fair and just to these serfs and came up with a plan that they would give a plot, a 3-acre plot of land to each serf family. There were some things that they would have to do, like construct a house and like plant on it for 3 years, and then it would be deeded to them for free. Land reform. And when the government, 10 years or so later, decided that serfs should be freed in the whole country, they adopted that land reform plan. And then on that farm, the indigenous people were educated, the Aymara were trained, and eventually rising to all levels of society and government. Many became Christians, and many became pastors, and many churches were planted. God's love and justice prevailed. But that last sentence, God's love and justice prevailed, is where the struggle with justice many of us come to. How can a loving God let hard things happen? I hear it often. Where is the justice in that? How can a God of love allow that? Where is God in all of this? The verses that we read in Matthew 20 really often hit home, and we ask the same thing. How is that fair? How is that just? How many times do we say that or think that? Or it's just not fair, and that is not justice. And see, that's where the juxtaposition of all of this comes on a few fronts. Our definition of justice, particularly social justice, is usually quite different than God's. And the world's understanding of justice differs as well. God, who is God, is true to who he is, always. His attributes are always there. His love, always. He is just, always. He is omniscient, all-knowing. Omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, always. I could go on, but you get the picture. God is who God is. And he says, I am who I am. Always. Just because we don't understand it, or sometimes don't like it, doesn't mean it changes. God is always. So, what is justice then? Well, according to the dictionary, it's both a noun and a verb. The noun is just behavior or treatment, a concern for justice, peace, and genuine respect for people, the quality of being fair and reasonable, the justice of his case, the administration of the law or authority in maintaining this, a tragic miscarriage of justice. Justice is also a verb, the constant and perpetual disposition to render every person their due, or to do justice, to see justice done, to summon one to do justice. The problem with this definition is that who decides what is fair and reasonable, or what is every person's due? There is a traditional opinion on this that seems to change over time. Some of you may remember the story or movie The Peace Child from the 1970s, where amongst tribes in Irian Jaya, one of the most admired traits was treason. And because of that, the hero of Christ's story became Judas. And it's a great story to revisit it if you'd like. But it is an example of how their definition of justice is not how we would think about justice. Views of justice differ depending on our upbringing, our society, our life experiences, etc. Nelson Mandela fought for political and ethnic justice. Dalai Lama fights for Buddhist justice. Mother Teresa fought for economic, social justice. And you get the picture. In our North American society, our legal system tells us that there are three kinds of justice. Punitive, let the punishment fit the crime. You did something wrong, so you must be punished. Corrective, changing the behavior of the offender. Restorative, the offender makes it right with the offended. We can all probably think of examples of each of these. In the Old Testament, people were killed because of their sin, or their eye was plucked out, or their hand cut off. That's punitive justice. And to us, that doesn't seem like justice, but yet it was. The Bible is messy. We've talked about it. And so is talking about justice. It's messy. Of course, there are the basic human rights as established by the United Nations in recent years that are supposed to ensure some basic foundations of justice. But even these are often challenged, particularly when it comes to women and the marginalized. Afghanistan and the right of education for women come to mind. Some of these rights are also the freedom of speech and the right to freedom of religion. In Bolivia, in 1948, CBM missionary Norman Dobbs and seven Bolivian pastors went to the town of Milcamaya to preach the gospel. It was illegal in those days to proselytize, illegal to preach, illegal to read scripture, illegal to pray in public. Only Catholic priests could do all of that. And so what these men were doing was technically illegal, but their burden for salvation for the people of Bolivia outweighed this. Unfortunately, through a series of events, all of these men were martyred. These men who stood for justice, for freedom of religion and freedom of speech, felt that it was so important that they lost their lives in the process. And in the process, they changed a nation. And because of their death, the laws were changed, and the nation embraced most human rights. And many, many people came to know the Lord. It's still a work in progress, of course, but God continues to restore his justice in that nation and in all nations. And that brings us to take a look at God's justice, the fourth kind of justice, perfect justice. Easton's Bible Dictionary says, justice of God is that perfection of his nature whereby he is infinitely righteous in himself in all he does, the righteousness of the divine nature exercised in his moral government. At first, God imposes righteous laws on his creatures and he executes them righteously. Justice is not an optional product of his will, but an unchangeable principle of his very nature. He cannot, as being infinitely righteous, do otherwise than regard and hate sin as intrinsically hateful and deserving of punishment. He cannot deny himself. His essential and eternal righteousness immutably determines him to visit every sin as such with merited punishment. Thank the Lord that he is also cannot deny himself in terms of love. And so because of that, he made a way for our sins to be forgiven, and our punishment was taken by Jesus Christ on the cross, who died, conquered death, rose and lives again so that we may have salvation and live eternally. It's a bit tough to understand all this, isn't it? But it's a bit more clear in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. It's like I said earlier, God is God, love and justice both. You see, he's the bigger picture. Our infinite small minds will never see it all. We have no clue what the future holds. I mean, that's obvious. 3 years ago, none of us would have pictured living through the last 2 years. But God does and did. He also has a deeper understanding than we ever will. He sees people's hearts, and he understands each one of us in a way we never will. He sees the greater good and the collective good. His justice is perfect in every way. And for God, it's all about community, the family of God. He himself lives in community as the triune God. Yes, he loves each one of us individually, unconditionally. But life happens in community, and the collective good of the community is important. It's we, us, not I, me. It's why we're meant to journey together with the people of God, the church. It's why we're better together. Jesus died for you and for me and for all of creation, for all. Together through him, love and justice prevail. I'm super concerned that our North American society today is so narcissistic and me-focused. It's not healthy. This is not a God-honoring way to live. We get so focused on what I want, what I need, what I want to hear, etc., that we often neglect the needs of others. I clearly remember the anagram for joy that I learned in Sunday school many years ago. Jesus, others, you. In that order. Our world would be much better off if we kept our focus on that kind of joy. That kind of joy is justice and love and God-honoring. That is what the prophecy that we read in Isaiah 42 is talking about. Jesus. Jesus is God's chosen son who will bring justice for all the nations. He established God's perfect justice on earth. And as a follower of Jesus Christ who longs for justice, this week's memory verse needs to be a theme song. Hosea chapter 12, verse 6. But you must return to your God, maintain love and justice, and wait for your God always. God is about to do something new in our midst, as he states in Scripture. We must always stay close to him. We must maintain love and justice and wait for our God always. This leads me to our last story, another Bolivian Baptist history, story of history of justice. It's the last one for today, and one that we, Dennis and I, were privileged to be a part of. And I'll try to keep it short, because again, I could talk about it all day. In 1994, we moved to Bolivia to help start what we thought would be a small program with the women who were living in the jails. Because, you see, there's no social net there, and the women had to take their children to jail with them. There was so much injustice that we encountered. There was still debtor's prison. There was no proper sanitation in the jail. There were no human rights. Illiteracy abounded. Abuse abounded. There were not fair trials, and bribery was everywhere. And children and injustice always tug at the heartstrings. And yet God was at work, and God's justice rose up. And we were able, as we worked with the children, to share the gospel message with them, and then they shared it with their parents, who also became Christians. And little by little, God's love and God's justice permeated a very marginalized, very neglected part of society. And the work continues. I could tell you hundreds of stories of all the ways that God's perfect love and justice was there, but I will refrain. But it was a privilege
to be a part of that. You see, there's still so much work to be done when it comes to justice. In countries like Bolivia, around the world, and in our own country too. We've seen it, and we continue to see it. All of us do. Here, residential schools, missing and murdered indigenous women, black and Asian discrimination, persecution of the marginalized, like those in the LGBTQ community, etc. Civil war in Myanmar and Burma, Syria, Afghanistan, Sudan, etc. Issues like slavery and sex trade and corruption, and the list goes on and on. And it's why, in Isaiah 42, we must heed this. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. You, me, all of us together, the collective you. He has called us in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand, he says. I will keep you, and I will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. That is what World Day of Justice is all about. Our triune God will take our hand and lead us forth as a light to all, so that with Jesus our Savior, we can bring justice to all. Amen. And now our benediction. God be in your head and under your understanding. God be in your eyes and in your looking. God be in your mouth and in your speaking. God be in your heart and in your thinking. God be at your end and at your departing. Go forth, remembering who you are and to whom you belong. And the triune God goes with you always. Amen.